Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thank you, one and all, for spending some of your time with us yet again and listening to another incredible conversation tonight with Alice Langholt, who is the founder of the Reiki Awakening Academy and Practical Reiki. So we'll talk about how we met and what she's done over the past however many years it's been. It's been a long time that we've known each other. And talk some about Reiki and healing. But first, tonight's metaphysical music. I've talked a little bit about people coming up to me and saying, oh, I know you. But that's one specific type of synchronicity, one kind of serendipitous event. And I just wanted to think a little bit about all the kinds of things that happen that are unexpected and how you can understand those or how you can acknowledge that you don't understand them at all. Life is full of things that just show up at the right time, in the right place, in the right way. And there are a lot of people whose lives aren't like that, and they're usually focusing on what they don't want and telling how lousy life is. And life will just confirm for them that indeed it is that way, because life tends to say yes to whatever it is you focus on and whatever it is you're thinking. So metaphysics tells us, and not just metaphysics, every tradition all over the world has the same kinds of information and the same kinds of understandings that what you focus on, what you think about, what your emotions are like, are creating a frequency that the universe will match. So if you're feeling good, you will tend to attract things that make you feel even better. And if you're feeling lousy and think that life is really terrible, you will tend to attract things that confirm that worldview as well. But that like attracts like attraction idea can get really interesting. I know a lot of people that do a little exercise where they say, I think I want somebody to offer me a cup of coffee today. And they go out in the world with the expectation that they'll get a free cup of coffee. And eventually somebody walks by and say, hey, you want a cup of coffee? Now, you can look at that as, yeah, well, they would have been offered the coffee anyway. But if you keep doing that, if you keep going out in your life and saying, it would be nice if I had this, and realizing that life is responding to you, you start understanding that everything is connected. So there are people that believe that the physical world is pretty much the way it is, and people are the way they are, and we can't influence any of it. And they walk around thinking everything are random events that just kind of buffet them around in their lives. And then there are people who understand that everything is connected. Everything is connected. Everything's responding to you. Everything is part of an interconnected web of energy and thought and emotion. And it's not just that it's buffeting you. Life is responding to you, and interesting things are showing up. And the more that you appreciate that and thank whoever you choose to thank for the cool stuff that happens, the better things become. So, you know, for me, fairly frequently, people will come over to me and go, I feel like I know you. Don't I know you from somewhere? And a conversation starts up with somebody I never would have met otherwise. Either that or it's a really good pickup line, but it sure doesn't seem like that. There are also all kinds of things that happen, in quotation marks, for no reason. Some people would say it's destiny or it's kismet or it's something else, that there is some magical book somewhere that either we wrote in or God wrote in or somebody wrote in and set up a plan which said that on this day, at this time, this was going to happen. And no matter what we did, it was going to happen that way. There may be something vaguely like that, but I don't think it's quite that way, because the most powerful influence in what happens with everything in your life, with everything that you experience, whether you think you're influencing it or not, is you and your thoughts and emotions and your intentions. And intentions are just focused thought. When you get good at doing that, then it's easier to, in quotation marks again, make things happen. Decide you want something to happen and have the events unfold in a way that comes out the way you intended it to. But I think if you start looking at your life as an interesting adventure where cool stuff is going to happen, it gets more and more interesting. And this is another form of what I talk about all the time, which is walkabout. You know, going out into the world, even if you're just stepping outside your apartment, we like to think that everything is going to be exactly the way we expect it. And, you know, nothing unusual is going to happen, but something unusual always happens. There's always something going on you didn't know about. And the question is it going to be cool stuff or is it going to be difficult stuff? And walkabout is walking into all of that, knowing that whatever it is, not only can you handle it without running away, but also that you will be assisted by however the unseen forces of the universe work. And there are as many ways of talking about that and understanding that as there are traditions and probably as many as there are individual people. But if you know that whatever that is on your side and that is connecting everything is going to be working, you can kind of walk into almost anything and not only work it through, but in the end, have a really good time and have a great story to tell. And sometimes I think that life is really about collecting stories so that when you cross over on the other side and you have that wonderful reunion with all your friends that have gone before you, you start telling your stories and they just go, "You're kidding me. You did that and you did that." And you know, the person with the best stories gets the most free rounds of whatever beer is like on the other side or whatever that is. So let's go out and collect some really cool stories. That seems to be what I'm doing in my life. And one of those stories, as we end our metaphysical musing, is about this wonderful young lady, Alice Langholt. So I think I'll tell that story with Alice. You with us, Alice?
Yes, I am.
And I have to say, this is a song about Alice, just to make the reference to Alice's restaurant.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I was looking back in the email, trying to remember when we first connected and how, and it was back in 2009. But I don't remember whether I saw something that you had posted online about Kundalini Reiki or what exactly it was.
You contacted me.
Okay. Shows you how much I remember.
Right, because I would never have found you at that point. I wasn't connected enough yet.
Well, at the time, you had learned about Kundalini Reiki and were connected to Ole Gabrielsen in Sweden. Is the Ole?
Denmark.
In Denmark, who had channeled the process and information about Kundalini Reiki, and you were offering attunements, Reiki attunements, so that you could use Kundalini Reiki. And I was fascinated with it because it had a really different, in many ways, approach to the other Reiki systems. Because the way I was trained to do hands-on healing, there was no real system It was an intuitive process, and Kundalini Reiki did that. And the attunement process was intended to expand the ability to have that energy flow through you. And that was really exciting to me. I was like, okay, whatever will make me better at what I do and teach me another piece of it is exciting. So I guess it was something you had posted, and I said, yeah, I'm in on this. And you attuned me to Kundalini Reiki.
Yeah.
And I remember being surprised at how much it did feel like it was an expansion of the ability to run energy and tapping into another level. But what was your original connection to Ole? How did you get involved in that?
Well, after I had learned Usui Reiki through the master level, I was very much interested in finding out more about Reiki and trying to connect with other people who were doing Reiki and trying to get a sense of what other people's experiences with Reiki were. And I spent a lot of time on discussion boards. And one of the ones that I was pretty active at the time was called Reiki Learning Lounge. And so I would go there and I'd read whatever the latest posts were. And I remember coming across a post by somebody that said, I've just learned Kundalini Reiki, and it blew my mind. It was very powerful, and I'm so amazed at this method because it doesn't have hand positions and it doesn't have symbols. And that really caught my attention because I think I really was looking for something simpler, a simpler approach. I feel like Usui Reiki just had too many things you have to do. Then for mm-hmm. me, that was just distracting. So, and it had an element of like, you know, magic about it where you have to do these things in order to activate the magic power of Reiki. And it just felt sort of forced to me. And I think I really resonated with, oh my gosh, there's something else. There's another way to do this that doesn't involve doing all that. And I just was, I was dying to learn about it. And that's where I started clicking and searching and followed the links until I found out where this was coming from. And I signed up for the attunements. And I remember being really, really interested in it, especially because I had never had a distance attunement either, and very excited that I could feel the distance attunements, and that was good. I actually am a very experimental person where I don't just believe something by reading it or having someone tell me, but I really have to try it. And I really have to try it over and over again. If it works, I got to try it like, you know, 50 more times to make sure it works all 50 times before I really believe that it works. And that was what I did with Kundalini Reiki, was I just started working with it and to make sure that it would work. And I started, I offered free attunements for 12 people, for the first 12 people that responded. And at the time, Kundalini Reiki had 9 attunements per person. Not 3. And so I had to keep a calendar like you wouldn't believe about like all these people and all their attunements, and everybody has to have this one this day and all of that, and all the email back and forth, because what I required was feedback. If I was going to tune them for free, they had to tell me, did they feel the attunement? Is this working for them? Can they do it? And I told myself that if even one was a failure, I would not use this method, because I just didn't want to be in an uncertain position. So, and it didn't fail. I mean, every attunement for all of those people over that 3-month period, everybody felt it. Everybody was working with it. And I was learning a whole lot and getting a lot of experience. And it was right at that time that I finished that series of attunements that Ole changed the method to 3 attunements instead of 9. And I got the upgrade attunement.
Well, and Ole's a very interesting guy. And at some point, I remember you had Ole on a Skype connection to your students, and I got to sit in on that and meet him. And he brought this through channeling it from an ascended master. It was not like he had a long history of Reiki training. This was something that basically during his meditations he was given in great detail. And then he shared it with people. And the underlying thing, and we can, we'll come back to this over and over, I'm sure. And part of what attracted me to it is it's all based on intention. So the ability to do a distant attunement is just like the ability to do a distant healing. It's realizing that you can intend for that to happen and that that experience exists as something that's available that you're connected to. And you can basically say, okay, I'm sending this to so-and-so who can download it when they're ready to do that. And the same thing with the remote distant treatments. And that is so much the way I was trained by the shamans that I worked with, that there wasn't a whole lot of ritual and things that one had to do to be ready and to make it all happen. It was all about, oh, you want to do this? Okay, let's do this. And the more you acted that way, the more you was made that assumption, the more things would happen. So I was really excited about just the underlying way that Ole was setting, was teaching people how to do healing.
Me too. And I loved that. I mean, that simpler approach. And, you know, it's interesting. I've been meaning to tell you about a really good book that also, this really fits in, but a really good book that I just read recently. It's called The Mystic, the Psychic, and the Physicist. And it's by a man named Lawrence Lachan. And he wrote it originally in 1966. And what he did was he basically was a very scientific kind of a guy, Western medicine psychologist, but very interested in science. And he was wrestling with the idea that some people can do these things that seem to be paranormal, you know, metaphysical, outside the range of normal, quote unquote, normal, and other people, you know, can't. And why is it possible for some people to do things like psychic healings and other people not to? And what he did was he decided he was going to try to find out how psychic healers do what they do. Like, what are they experiencing when they are doing a psychic healing? So first he picked out some psychic healers who had a good reputation for being, you know, the real deal. And then he spent 500 hours or more studying and interviewing and gathering information about their process. And then he boiled down the things that they all had in common and took out all the things that they didn't have in common and put those aside as individual behaviors. And then he had a series of steps. And so he tried them to see if he could do it. And he could. It worked for him. So he started teaching others. I love that.
Right. You know, and the way I talk about this stuff is if you have a talent for something, and there are people that have a talent for this, it means that you'll be sort of good at it for no reason. But if you don't really work at it, if you don't find teachers and practice for years and years and years, you won't be incredible. You'll just have a knack for it. Things will happen that are unusual around you. If you have that talent and you find teachers and you work at it for decades, then you start doing things that are extraordinary and people really wonder how in the world anybody could do that. But it's not different from mathematics or athletics or dance or musical instruments or any number of things, sports, where yeah, having talent helps, but the people who master it and do the things that make you gasp in disbelief are the people that worked harder than anybody else, that just practice a lot and had good people that they went to and said, okay, you know more than I do. Show me how to do it better. So the steps, yeah, there are certainly steps and everybody can do this. And on the other hand, there are people that go way beyond that because of the same kinds of things, good coaches and lots of practice.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, it's about like understanding how I learn something, you know, what are the steps? How is this done? And then if I understand that how it worked for me, then I can teach it to somebody else and see how, if it works for them, and then I know it works, you know?
Right. And part of it with this kind of stuff, part of it is just a suspension of disbelief. I would not even say that it's believing in it, but not setting up an intention basically that says, oh, this can't happen.
Right.
Because you can certainly create a circumstance in which it cannot happen. And then you just confirm your belief because it doesn't happen.
Right.
I love debunkers because they go out to disprove something. It's like, you can't do that. Okay, it didn't happen around you. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist in the universe. It just means you went out attempting not to find it and you didn't find it.
Yeah. Right. I tell my students, you have to be open enough, just open enough to say, well, I don't know, but I'll try.
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly. So I think it's a fascinating process. One of the things and probably right after the break that we'll talk about is you worked with this extensively. You proved it to yourself. You got students and you proved that you could attune students and show them how to do this. But you also have done much more with it. You've gone in another direction with it. And we'll talk about that after the break.
Awesome.
And tell people how they can plug into all the stuff that you did afterwards, because I think you set up a wonderful system. So, you know, here we are. You're in Cleveland, right? If I remember
right. Yeah, that's right.
And I'm in Massachusetts. And just so people can understand, well, first of all, we didn't define Reiki. We're kind of making the assumption that everybody who would listen to the show would know what Reiki is, which may be true. But give a good definition of Reiki.
I say that Reiki is an energy healing method for stress relief, pain relief, better health, overall well-being, and balance on physical, emotional, and spiritual levels.
And Reiki in Japanese means
guided life force energy.
Right. So the understanding is that the life force is everywhere, but that the practitioner learns to guide and direct that life force with a healing intention. And there are lots and lots and lots of people that practice Reiki, and there are lots of different methods. And Kundalini Reiki just had this very strong appeal because it was so straightforward and simple, and that it was easy to attune people.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Fast to practice, easy to practice. You don't need 45 minutes. You can do a healing in 5 to 7 minutes.
Right.
I liked that too. I'm a very busy person.
Right. Absolutely. And the other thing that I really liked about it, because so much of almost all my work is remote work, is that it teaches people how to do distance healing, which also is a way to get past the idea that time and space and the physical world are what defines what you can do and what you can't do. And I think that's a very important understanding. And this makes it very visceral, makes it very real that there's something going on that bypasses space and time.
Yeah.
So we're going to go to break in a few minutes. I want to make sure people know how to find you. Why don't you give your website and other contact information?
Okay, sure. My school, which is online, where you can find classes in practical Reiki and a lot of other holistic and metaphysical topics, is ReikiAwakeningAcademy.com. And Reiki is spelled R-E-I-K-I. And every other word is spelled just exactly as you would expect to be. So we have ReikiAwakeningAcademy.com. Or you can find my own personal practice at ReikiAwakening.com. That's if you wanted to get a healing session from me, a distance healing, or buy an autographed copy of my books, for instance. And also, if you can't remember any of that, you could just go to PracticalReiki.org. Not .com, that's someone else's book, but practicalreiki.org, and that would take you straight to a page where you can learn a lot more about what I have renamed Kundalini Reiki, which we'll talk about after the break, I'm sure.
Yep, that's exactly what we'll do. I also want to make sure the listeners know that you can send us a comment or ask a question during the show if you're listening to this live, and you have a Twitter account, just tweet to @FarkasFiles and use the hashtag FarkasFiles somewhere in your message. And by the magic of the internet, it will pop up on my screen and we can talk about whatever you tweeted. So we've bypassed the old analog system of phone calls and now we can do it with Twitter.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And so we are going to take a little break and listen to some very funny things, probably. And we will be back shortly, unless we get taller, with Alice Langholt and talk more about Kundalini Reiki, practical Reiki, and all kinds of other fascinating stuff here on the Farkas Files. Truth is in here somewhere, so don't go nowhere. Stay with us.
This week's episode, Fire at the Shed.
Gee, Johnny, this rope swing sure is swell. Don't I know it. Hey, it's Sassy. I think she's trying to tell us something. Mr. Gunderson? What about Mr. Gunderson? A fire? Mr. Gunderson's trapped? Where, Sassy? Where? What, Sassy? Now that you've got our attention, you'd like to take a moment to talk about shelter pets? Shelter pets in general are well-adjusted, healthy, and love being with people? Sassy, we don't have time! Pets often end up in shelters due to owner problems like divorce or allergies? That's great, Sassy, but what about the fire? There is no fire! They're just messing with our heads? Sassy!
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chomping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chomps through anything. Just put it on and instantly chomp through wood. Hi-yah! Concrete. Hi-yah! Brick walls. Hi-yah! Trees. Hi-yah! Small cars. It can even chomp through these 8 guitars.
Hi-yah!
It chomps things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-yah time!
Okay, kids, the car's packed up and the campfire is out. Let's hit the road.
Dad, the fire's not out. You can see it's still smoking.
Close enough.
Close enough? If it's too hot to touch, then it's too hot to leave.
You could burn down this forest. Not to mention our whole neighborhood.
Come on, Dad, do your homework. 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans.
Did I say we were leaving? I was kidding.
Sure you were, Dad.
Are you gonna tell your mom about this?
Oh, yeah.
Great.
You're never too young to get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Because 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
A public service message brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Alice Langholt of the Reiki Awakening Academy. And one of the things that we got to do together, Ole had written a simple manual for Kundalini Reiki, but English is not his first language, and it kind of was just an outline. So we got to write the book about Kundalini Reiki, which was great fun.
It was.
So the manual that is around, which isn't a big book, but that's around about Kundalini Reiki and how to use it, how to learn it, how to attune people to it, is something that we wrote together, passing things back and forth online several years ago. It was an amazing experience to do.
The final one that we ended up creating, actually, I sent to Ole, and he said to me, would you mind if I use this for my students? And I said, you know, go right ahead.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing when the teacher says, would you mind if you if I use what you did with my work? It was very cool. But part of what's really exciting about your work is you took Kundalini Reiki a step further. With Ole's permission.
Yes.
And so tell us what you did.
Well, it all started when I was teaching Kundalini Reiki. I started teaching it locally a few years ago here in Cleveland. And in fact, one even got the course Kundalini Reiki for nurses. I wrote a separate manual for nurses and caregivers, and that was approved by the Ohio Board of Nursing. And so that was really, really cool. And then I started volunteering and giving Reiki at the Cleveland Clinic once a week. And I would, you know, walk around talking about Kundalini Reiki this and Kundalini Reiki that, and nurses should really learn this. It's so much easier. It's more likely they would use it if they learned something so simple. And the head of the healing services department said to me one day, you know, Alice, Kundalini Reiki sounds great. And I'm like, oh, it is great. It's really great. And she says, but there's a problem. And I was like, what? And she said, it's the name. I was like, what? She said, the word Kundalini, it sounds mysterious. It has some odd connotations to it. It doesn't really jive well in a medical setting. And I was like, well, that's just a ridiculous reason to stop it. So why don't we just change the name and call it Practical Reiki? And she said, oh, I like that. I was like, huh. Okay. So then my next thought was, well, I'll just, you know, I'll revise the manual. I'll take out the words Kundalini and I'll use the word practical and I'll just revise the manual. And then I thought to myself, you know, while I'm doing this, I think I'm going to add in a section about, and then I came up with a few sections I wanted to add because there were things that I realized as I had been teaching it were real important for students to know, like a chapter about intention and attention, like two keys to really working closely with the energy. And while I'm at it, I'll add a chapter about how your intuition works so that people who are learning this method can get directly in touch with feeling the energy, how they individually feel the energy, and that would make it easier. And then I thought, you know, while I'm at it, I should put in a section about chakras just for people's information to help them understand what kinds of information they're getting as they're giving Reiki to somebody, you know, chakras and how they relate to a person's emotional state and different areas of their life. And then I realized these are not sections, these are chapters. Mm-hmm. And I was going to actually write a book. So I did. I mean, I had my outline, because this is the way I had been teaching for 2 years already. This was the information that originally, when we had the old Kundalini Reiki manual, I was imparting to my students, but my distance students, in these long emails. And then in my classes, in my local classes, I was spending time explaining each topic. And so by that time, I was pretty much ready to just type it all up anyway. And it became the book Practical Reiki. I wrote it in about 4 days because I really just wrote down what I had been teaching for two right. years.
And I was just, you sent it to me. It's a lovely book. And I can't believe you did this in 4 days, because you did a great job.
Thank you.
And you have a real way with explaining things in a very straightforward, simple way. So that it's not ponderous. It's not something that takes a whole lot of effort to figure out. And it's very, very straightforward, which is perfect.
Thanks. It's really geared towards anybody. I mean, because I really didn't know anything. I wasn't one of those people that's like has natural knacks for anything intuitive, you know, when I learned Reiki. And it took me a while, but once I could actually realize what the energy felt like to me, I thought to myself, there's no reason for somebody to have to figure this out on their own. You know, if I can learn this, then I can teach this to somebody else and they can learn it. And so I teach Reiki for like anybody, for mainstream, for like that anybody can learn this, and here's how. And that's why I made it so simple, because that's the way that I would want to learn, in a way that's clear and easy to understand.
And one of the things about Reiki and about certain other things that I like to tell people about is, if Reiki became more widely known, and as somebody said, if there could be a healer in every house and in every household, life would change for so many people, because so many of the stresses of life, so many of the simple problems and diseases and mental discomforts and all the other things that go on can be dramatically affected by Reiki, and anybody can learn it. So every household could have somebody that would be able to shift things really quickly for the other people in the household. And, you know, obviously in my household, my kids grown up with me, and I wouldn't have called it Reiki, but I've been doing healing work her whole life before she was born. And I'm always amused that, you know, she's a teenager. She'll kind of push it away and don't do that until she gets hurt or something. And then she comes over and, you know, my wrist hurts. And I'll work on her, and she nods her head and mumbles. And the next day I go, hey, how's your wrist? And she goes, oh, it's fine. She goes, son of a gun, this stuff works. Because it's so matter of fact and so every day in our household. And that's how it should be.
Yeah. You know, I have 4 kids. And they're ages 6, 9, 11, and 13. And they're growing up much differently than I did. You know, it's so interesting, you know, having Reiki and having the ability to just tap in whenever you need it is like having a tool that I never had. I wish I had growing up when I was a teen. I wish I knew Reiki, all the drama, all the craziness right. in my life, right. you know, just to have a way to just balance and center and cut through all of that and just be able to think clearly, you know, in itself. But it's great for lots of, you know, parenting moments, including just trying to increase my own patience, let alone, you know, calming my kids down when they have a bruise, a boo-boo, or they're really upset, but also for sending to different intentions and goals. And my kids talk differently than I ever did. I mean, meaning like they'll say, I manifested it, Mom, you know.
Well, but, you know, if we can kind of rattle off some of the techniques in Kundalini Reiki, practical Reiki, and give people an idea of how you can do them all day, every day. So one of my favorites is the balance technique, mm-hmm. which takes a minute but keeps working for about an hour, completely balancing your energy system. And what a wonderful thing to be. The last time I did it in public, and it's something nobody else would notice unless they're clairvoyant, and see your energy shift. But, you know, I was standing in line at the supermarket with the shopping cart, and I just put my hands in that position while I was waiting, and could shift my energy and relax in that moment and have a healing for myself without it being a big deal, without any other stuff going on. And you were talking about the intentions in the same way that healing can be sent in the moment to somebody. You can also send it for a particular time in the future. So if your kid's taking an exam or somebody's going to the hospital for a procedure or whatever it is, you can set the intention that in the moment that they need it, when they're there, the healing will start. And you can also set it up so that somebody can download it when they need it. And that entire way of looking at the world, but also being able to provide that that wonderful service for people in a way that really works in the real world is just a wonderful thing. And it also, so many people feel so helpless with everything that's going on in the world and their lives. Yeah. And when you know about this stuff, you know that you can intend for things to be different, and you can even send that out in front of you for the time in the future when you're going to walk into it. And that's a whole different way of thinking about your day, thinking about your life, thinking about the world. So I and I know a lot of other people will just sit down periodically during the day or watching the news and reading all the terrible things that are going on instead of going, oh, my God, it's terrible. What you're going to do is sit down and do a healing on that issue. And a healing for all of those people. And will it be a dramatic change that you did that? For somebody, it may be. You won't know if somebody across the world in a difficult situation had exactly what they needed from your intention. But if, as more and more people are doing that, instead of bemoaning the fate of the world, we can shift things in ways that are profound and very powerful and that most people don't even think of doing.
Yeah. And you know, the other side of it is even feeling like there's something you can do makes you feel better.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things about any kind of healing work is when you're running energy to somebody else, you're getting healing as well. So you always do feel better.
That's true. Yeah. Something else that I really like about Kundalini Reiki now, practical Reiki, is that the things that you can do after your level one attunement, you can pretty much do anything with Reiki. And with Ushui Reiki, the traditional form that many people learn, you're very limited in terms. They tell you you can only, after level one, you can only do Reiki on yourself or maybe hands-on on another person, but you can't send distance Reiki. You're just not capable of it, mm-hmm. which is really not true. You know, it's really not true. They just don't want you to. You know, they want you to just focus on self-healing. You know, it's so structured and it's so formulaic, and that they're really limiting the practitioner. Versus with Kundalini Reiki, with practical Reiki, you get the first attunement and you can do anything except attune other people. I mean, you can send distance healing. You can clear the energy in a room. You can send energy Reiki to your goals, your, you know, opening doors for opportunities. You can send it to the past to heal things that have happened to you in the past. You can do anything with the energy that you pretty much want to. And you really start out with the foundation of like five basic things, but it really is, I mean, the situation qualities healing says you tell the energy what you want it to do. It's right. Fill in the blank with your intention. And it's so empowering. It says you get this attunement and you are in touch with the energy. That's it. You know, right. And you define what you want it to do. It's like taking off the shackles. You know?
Well, and in a really basic way, it's initiating people into the world of shamanism without any ceremony, ritual, anything else. It's just saying, you can do this. Here, think about all the things that you want to change in the world and just send Reiki to it and be clear on your intention and send your intention to it. Go ahead and do it. And, you know, it's not, it's got no trappings, it's got no ceremonies, it's got no rituals, it's got none of that. It's a shift in the way the energy is flowing through your body because the attunement does that. And it's practicing that you can have an effect on things. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful system.
I love it. Yeah. I'm really, really proud of it. My practical Reiki course is also now is approved by the Ohio Board of Nursing also. And I can also train instructors. So those who have learned practical Reiki can come back to me and get trained to be an instructor and offer CEs to nurses. It really gives it some extra cred, you know.
You know, way back, I won't even tell you how long ago, the first hands-on healing method that I learned was therapeutic touch. And that was the first attempt to get a method similar to Reiki, but not calling it that and not with an Asian flavor to it, into the world of nursing. And it was done through the doctoral level nursing program. I don't want to misquote which of the schools it was. And I got to meet the gal who put it together and her teacher, who was one of the well-known people in the Theosophical Society and was the one that taught her how to do healing. And then she modified the process and brought it into the scientific world through therapeutic touch. And they did a bunch of research, not only on human beings with the effect on hemoglobin. They could show that the amount of oxygen in hemoglobin went up after healing. And then people said, well, it could be the placebo effect. So they did it on plants. It got the same results on plants, as well as other stuff that I don't know all the research that was done, but it was a very exciting time getting this point of view into the healing world. And there's still people using that method, but anytime we can get an acceptance of this kind of work into nursing, and then from nursing, it will undoubtedly jump into other, the work of other people and hopefully more doctors, because there are a lot of doctors that now do various kinds of healing modality. So
I was very excited to have an MD in my last workshop, in my last class.
Great.
And it was so exciting, you know, and the best part, I was really nervous at first because I was like, you know, what's she going to think? You know, she had never taken any energy healing class, but she had just heard so much about Reiki, just decided she was going to learn about it. And she came. Well, it blew her mind. Mm-hmm. She was amazed. She was like, her eyes were wide open, like, oh, I really felt that, you know.
Right.
It was so great.
Right. And then it takes quite a while for people that have a scientific viewpoint and suddenly have the experience to try and figure out how to integrate it and how to talk about it. One of the things that I talk about with skeptics is that if you don't have an experience of something, and it's usually, you know, not so much the healing stuff, but talking about ghosts or other non-physical things, if you have no experience of it, there's no reason for you to believe it exists. I totally understand that people that have absolutely no experience are not going to buy it. Then they have an experience, and that experience trumps all the beliefs. Beliefs are always hearsay. Belief is what somebody else told you is true. And once you have the experience, then you know very viscerally what's true and what's real. And life changes after that. There are people who can push it away and say that didn't happen. Can lie to themselves and say that couldn't possibly have happened. But most people will go, oh, something just happened and I have to figure out how to understand this.
Yeah.
These people are not all crazy. Right. You know, they've had an experience that I don't have, and I just had this experience. So what does it mean?
Yeah.
And that's life changing.
I'm writing a whole chapter about this in my new book. I'm writing a new book now. I've just started it. And it's about distance healing. Mm-hmm. And it's about distance healing, but there is a chapter in there. In fact, I teach a like an hour and a half course called Who Are You and Why Have You Become So Strange? And it's really about this idea of paradigm shifting.
Right.
Learning some, you know, trying to incorporate some new experience into your current version of reality. And then all the people around you that don't have that and know you before you had this shift in belief, but what does it take for you to get from disbelief to belief? And, you know, for me, it's a lot of experimenting.
Yep.
So anyway, just the whole idea of the paradigm shift and then how you deal with the people around you when they don't get you anymore.
Right.
You know, it's very important, I think, for people to know. And that's why I'm going to be talking about it in this book, along with a bunch of distance healing techniques and including team distance healing also, and some amazing experiences I've had with that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Well, you've done amazing work with this. It's been exciting to participate in the beginning of it and watch all the work that you've done expanding on it. I just think what you've done is spectacular, so thank you so much.
And
once again, the hour has disappeared in a heartbeat, and we have to close things up. So thank you so much for being on the show, Alice. Maybe we can do this again.
I'd love to.
That would be great. And Alice is the founder of the Reiki Awakening Academy. Her method and her book are called Practical Reiki. And you can find her at Reiki Academy, ReikiAwakeningAcademy.com. And I think your book's on Amazon, isn't it?
Certainly is. And yep. Kindle.
Practical Reiki. Thanks again, Alice.
Thank you, David.
So if you're at all curious about me, you can find my work at househealing.com, and cleverly hiding on the contact page is every conceivable technology for getting in touch with me, including my online scheduling calendar. I do a 20-minute assessment and reading to see what's going on with the property you're building, person, situation that you would like me to look at, and see how my work could help with whatever is going on. So please take advantage of that and be in touch. So thank you one and all for spending your time with us whenever you're listening to this. The archive for the show is at www.thefarkasfiles.com. We have dozens of shows in the archive with all kinds of fascinating people like Alice. And please go look and listen. And I hope you will enjoy it and get all kinds of new ideas. So here we are at the end of this week's Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere, here on Empower Radio. This is David Franklin Farkas. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll be right back.